Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
We're just talking about this last week. A man is dead. His two teenage sons were wounded after a grenade they found among their grandfather's old belongings exploded inside their Indiana home on Saturday.
Yeah.
We were just talking about this last week. Casey was asking how deadly are grenades.
What's the blast range?
Here you go. According to the sheriff's department, someone pulled the pin on the explosive, causing it to detonate inside of the residence. It was a real live grenade. When deputies arrived at the scene, they found an unresponsive man who was later pronounced dead. The man's two sons, ages 14 and 18, were taken to a local hospital with shrapnel wounds. The bomb squad also responded to determine whether there were any additional explosives in the house. Homicide detectives are investigating the blast. No other information was immediately available. Casey, you know, we had talked about this last week. You know, that show I was telling you about, Deadliest Warrior.
Yes.
Even though these are fragmentation grenades, even if you don't get hit by the fragments, the concussive force alone can kill you. And that's, you know, I'm sure that was part of the contributed to those people dying.
Yeah, I never realized that until I watched If You See the Hurt Locker.
And
in the very opening scene, it's a concussive force that ends up killing that guy.
Yeah, right. Cracks his skull.
All right. For the third time this month, there's been a shark bite in the Florida Keys. And on Friday, a fisherman was hospitalized after a shark bite. But this time, the shark struck while he was on land.
How does that happen?
All right. So, a 35-year-old man was fishing off a dock. The shark was on the dock with the angler when it took a bite of his foot. It's unclear if the man who was not identified reeled in the shark or how it ended up on the dock in the first place. Casey, they're on land now.
I know!
And they're biting people. He was flown to Jackson South Medical Center. His condition is unknown. I don't know if the guy actually stuck his foot in the shark's mouth and then it bit down or what?
They say the shark got into a waiting Uber and left.
Something
was up.
Okay. All right. A shooting in Indiana that injured two people after a 3-year-old accessed a gun led to the arrest of a man wanted for murder in Illinois. This is bizarre. Trayshawn Smith, 23 years old, was arrested after he visited a hospital with non-life-threatening gunshot wounds. Investigators eventually determined that the shooting that sent Smith and another victim to the hospital occurred when a 3-year-old was able to access a gun and
Smitty, go on the ground now
and fire a single round. The police department said officers initially found both shooting victims at a hospital where they were being treated for non-life-threatening injuries. They later determined that the shooting occurred in an apartment complex in Lafayette, Indiana. The other victim was the child's mother, and Smith was a friend of the mother's. Smith was arrested on an active murder warrant from neighboring Cook County, Illinois.
Now, it's not the way you want it to happen, but it's pretty wild.
But yeah, it's pretty wild that a 3-year-old who got a hold of a gun happened to shoot somebody who had a murder warrant out.
That's
on
a trick shot.
Yeah. Claudia Jimenez woke up Thursday morning to find flames ripping through her apartment with the front door blocked by the blaze. She and her two young daughters were trapped, and all she could do was call for help. She said, I opened my window, and I started yelling, please, someone help me. There's a fire. And even before the firefighters arrived, help came from an unlikely place. Joe Hollins, who's a homeless man, and his wife were camped out near Jimenez's apartment. And when they heard the screams, he ran to help. He said, all I see is this lady pull open the window, and she's screaming, please help me. Hollis got under the window, Jimenez said, and told her to drop her two children to him. She said he was right underneath and was like, yes, throw your daughters out. I'm going to catch them. I'm going to get them. First went 1-year-old Valerie. Next up was 8-year-old Natalie. And then Jimenez threw out the family's two dogs. Hollis safely caught each and every one of them.
Wow.
But then when it was her turn, Jimenez froze. She didn't want to come out at first, according to Hollins, she said she was scared that she was going to fall. And I was like, don't worry, I got you. Jimenez finally made the jump, landed safely in Hollins' arms.
My china cabinet.
The fire my safe.
It's
my
an heirloom.
Safe.
My piano. I'm a piano player. It's how I make a living. I'm going to hell.
The dishwasher.
I just bought it.
So the fire department soon arrived to fight back the flames, and as things calmed down,
you have a boulder.
The grateful family said that they owe Hollins their lives.
I got it.
While Jimenez and her family are safe, they lost everything, as did many of the residents in the building. Community members are now raising money to support the survivors. The cause of the remains, the fire remains under investigation. A few unexpected, Kathy, this story is all about you. A few unexpected visitors have one family ready to move. According to Zakiya Brown, she and her family have been forced to live with seven possums since last week. It all started on May 11th when Brown noticed the first one while she was in the bathroom painting her toenails. She said, I looked a couple of times and thought I saw something, but the third time there was something. It was on the side of my foot just sitting there.
How do you not notice a possum that's painting its own toenails?
No, she was painting her toenails. The interactions have Brown fed up with the situation. She said she found one who was just looking to hang out in the bathroom. She said, earlier this morning, my kids were getting ready for school. My daughter went to go brush her teeth, and it was just hanging on the towel rack. Just hanging out.
How you doing? I like your nails.
She said,
that's a good summer color. Is that peach?
She said, my son, my 13-year-old, kind of trapped him and grabbed him. Possums are mostly nocturnal, but are sometimes seen in daylight, especially when food is scarce. The last few were caught during the day, and Brown said that that is enough for her and her, and her family. She said now that they're coming out in the daytime, it's time to go. It's been the last two. We caught them in the morning before the kids go to school in the bathroom, so it's just like, I'm out of here.
Wasn't a possum eating cat food?
No, my parents' house. It was living in my parents' bathroom, and it was eating the cat's food. The cat was losing weight, and then my dad blamed it on the tenant that was living in there because the possums basically threw their crap and smeared it all over the walls. I guess they were trying to desperately get out, and my dad blamed the poor tenant that was living in there.
Oh, man.
So there was doo-doo feces thrown all over the walls?
Everywhere.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you guys... There was a story last month where the Mets were broadcasting in Oakland, a game against the A's, and they had to move booths because there was so much possum poop in the Mets booth that it smelled so bad that they had to go down.
Feces thrown all over the walls.
Possum will mark its territory with its own crap.
Well, the A's play in a really run-down, terrible stadium at this point, and so it's been literally the radio booth was taken over by possums.
That's horrific.
So Brown was able to catch three of them, but she said there are still four of them loose in the house.
Oh, my God.
And she said that there's not been too much help getting them out. She said she called the animal control last week.
There's a possum on my Peloton.
But as of Thursday, she still had not heard anything. She's getting a workout in. She said they never showed up. Thankfully, the police did, though, but no animal control. Brown talked to her landlord and is set to move out by next week because they're just
don't envy them.
Taken over.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's the Bizarre File podcast.
I have mainly disturbing stories for you in the Bizarre File, but listen.
I'm trying to be inappropriately humorous.
There's nowhere else to put these. So a housekeeper encountered a deadly sight Wednesday afternoon in Naples, Florida, authorities said, and helped get a suspect behind bars. So it was around 2:30 p.m. The maid was called by one of her clients, a guy named Anthony Michael Corrado, who asked her to come and clean up a real mess at his grandparents' home. When she arrived at the house, she noticed Corrado was covered in blood.
Oh, boy.
The woman went into the bathroom, and she heard heavy breathing and saw a large blue tarp on the floor with something moving underneath.
Don't look under that.
She began to unwrap the tarp and found Corrado's grandmother with a plastic bag over her head. When she attempted to remove the bag, Corrado told her to stop because she would get blood everywhere. Corrado then told the woman to help her get rid of his grandmother's body before his grandfather got home from the grocery store and disabled the security cameras.
Okay, but I don't do windows.
The housekeeper insisted they call 911, but Corrado, who has a long rap sheet, told her no because he didn't want to go back to prison. So obviously she's scared, and this dude's a psycho.
What kind of housekeeper are you?
So the housekeeper told Corrado that she needed to get some cleaning supplies from her car.
Oh, okay.
And left, and she went to go get help. She flagged down a deputy in his patrol vehicle a short distance away. Deputies then went into the house, saw Corrado still wearing blood-spattered clothes in the driveway next to a car with the trunk open. In the bedroom, the grandmother, an 82-year-old woman, was found dead with injuries from blunt head trauma. The 74-year-old grandfather, who had returned from the store, was still alive, and he was wrapped in a blanket.
Oh, my God.
The second victim, who also had injuries consistent with blunt head trauma, was taken by helicopter to the trauma unit in Fort Myers. Deputies continued to search the home and observe blood on the walls and floors and a heavy hammer with smeared blood on the kitchen countertop. Corrado was arrested and booked into the Collier County Jail. He was facing charge of second-degree murder and aggravated battery on a person of 65 years of age or older. How messed up is
that? When that housekeeper got home that evening, that story was the first or how many stories in that she relayed to her family?
I don't know. Maybe she had a long day,
right,
and had a few other things
I'm assuming that's the top position, right?
All right, disturbing story number two. An OnlyFans model who goes by Talia Madison online went viral after revealing she discovered that her stepfather was her number one subscriber on OnlyFans.
That's got to be uncomfortable.
Talia didn't reveal her age. She's obviously an adult, but she stated that her stepfather had been in her life since she was 11 years old, and she added that on OnlyFans he spent $2,000 on custom content and every single video she sent out. Talia got suspicious when someone under the same username from OnlyFans watched one of her TikTok videos.
Is it possible he's just a protective dad?
And she was alerted that the TikTok user's phone number was in her contact list.
Oh, God.
Talia then explained, I narrowed it down to six people, and one of them was my stepdad. I went with my gut feeling, and I messaged the OnlyFans account, and I said, I know who this is. And within 2 minutes, I got a text from my stepdad saying, hey, Ty, can we talk? After that, dad was caught. Talia revealed that in a second video that her stepdad denied it to all of his friends, and obviously my mom got rid of him right away. But yeah, if you want to talk about family trauma, my stepdad watched me having sex with my partner for 2 months. When it came to special requests that he would make on OnlyFans, Talia revealed that her stepdad would ask to see the underwear that I was wearing every day and to take photos in the bathroom while she was at work.
Did they provide family discounts?
She then stated he also requested when I was filming solo content at home that I would not do it in the bathroom or shower. He always wanted it to be on my bed or on the floor of my bedroom. She clarified that these were places that her stepdad had access to.
Wow. Beyond creepy.
Uh-huh. All right, disturbing story number three. An elderly man died after allegedly getting run over by a street sweeper in Lakeland early Thursday morning.
Cleaned his clock.
Police said the city of Lakeland street sweeper, being operated by Terry Pelham, was traveling north around 4:34 a.m. While the sweeper turned right, Pelham felt an impact. Pelham then checked his surroundings and, after finding nothing, proceeded to drive forward heading east. He then noticed the victim lying on the road behind the sweeper, which prompted him to immediately get out of the vehicle and call 911.
By the time he realized something was wrong, the vehicle was already 9 feet away.
Traffic homicide detectives said that they are unsure what the victim was doing on the road and that they are still trying to find his next of kin. The victim's exact cause of death has yet to be determined.
Horrible. Wow. Horrible. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. This is a disturbing, bizarre file.
I can keep going or
hold my beer.
I can move on to something less.
Go ahead. Get it out of the way now.
Okay, go ahead and get it out of the way. All right. This isn't as disturbing. It's unfortunate. Homicide detectives in Australia are investigating why a police officer felt so threatened by a 95-year-old woman clutching a walking aid and a steak knife that he needed to taser her inside her nursing home.
We were pretty much allowed to go.
Claire Nowland, a great-grandmother with dementia, is in critical condition in the hospital after being tasered early Wednesday by a senior constable who had been called out to a home of care staff to reports of a resident with a knife.
Peter, take that risk. You got to shoot towards the full body mass.
Peter Cotter, police assistant commissioner, attempted to explain the officer's actions at a news briefing on Friday after watching video of the incident captured by two police body cameras. He said at the time that she was tasered, she was approaching police. It is fair to say at a slow pace. She had a walking frame, but she had a knife. I can't take it any further as to what was going through anyone's mind when he used the taser, Cotter said. The community has been outraged by the events. Andrew Thaler, a community advocate, said Nolan's family, which includes 8 children and dozens of grandchildren and great-grandchildren, are taking turns keeping vigil by her bedside. Thaler said, I don't think there's going to be a recovery. Tasers take out bulls and fully grown men, and she's a slip of a woman, he said. Nellen has dementia and had lived at the home for 5 years. So they had asked her a number of times to drop the knife, and for whatever reason, she didn't. And when she got tased, she hit the ground and hit her head.
So, oh,
yeah, so she's in bad condition. All right, there you go. You're all disturbing. Bizarre File this morning.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And thanks for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.